Matthew chapter 13, and I think it'd be good to read those verses again, starting with verse 9 and going to verse 18. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Through 18.
Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full of dull hearing, are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and she should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower.
Okay, so just again quickly, again we kind of brought out that this is all on why Jesus taught in parables, and we explained this morning that this is kind of a turning point in Jesus' ministry, that it seems like the religious leaders have hit the level where there's kind of no return. They've obviously chosen not to accept his teaching, and Jesus knows that. And so he kind of turns away from them and is now focusing on those who want to hear and choose to hear. And that's what we got into the yous and the thems. The yous are those that want to understand and want to learn more. And the light that Jesus has given them, God has given them, they want more of that light. But the them are those that have chosen to, no matter how much light they had, that they rejected that light and refused to listen to it. And we gave some examples on that this morning. So I just wanted to kind of continue on that here. In verse 13, it says, Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And we, again, this is the same thought that we pretty much had, that these people can hear fine physically, but they don't really see the truths of God. They don't really absorb or understand what they're hearing, because they've chosen not to, basically. And I think that in this context, like we brought out, this is a choice that they have made. There's a story of a man who had a boss, he said, who wouldn't tolerate any kind of disagreement. If you had a little bit of disagreement with him, he'd get upset and you might even lose your job. So this one employee learned to use this phrase, I hear what you're saying, which is kind of a way to say, I really don't agree, but we'll go with it, sort of thing, you know. What, for God, that doesn't work. God expects us to believe what he's saying, to be what is right, and he expects us to heed those things. Not just, I hear what you're saying. No, I want you to do those things. I want you to do it and do it willingly, because you want to, which I think is a good example here. James said in James 1:22-25 that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And it's so easy to be hearers and not do anything about what we've heard from God's word. And as a matter of fact, in verse 25, it says, that's the only way you're going to have a blessing from God, if you become a doer of the word and not just a hearer of it. Verse 14 goes on and says, and in them, obviously they're talking about those who have rejected his word, the religious leaders especially, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Jesus says that another reason he's speaking in parables is because really this is a fulfillment of prophecy of the Old Testament, Notice there's a them in there again. It says, in them the prophecies of Isaiah are fulfilled. And so he's talking about the Jews there, to be sure. Isaiah was writing to a people that he was dealing with in his day. And as a matter of fact, Jesus is really saying that he's dealing with the same kind of people, I mean, even this day, people that have had, they're not understanding, they're not hearing because they've chosen not to understand. That's really the whole point. And so I just want to look at this here a little bit in Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. Isaiah probably thought that by his being willing to serve God and do what God was telling him to do, that would result in the cleansing of the nation. I mean, kind of if you read that in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, we maybe could look to that real quick just so we can follow a little bit here. Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. Go ahead.
Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed.
Okay, so go and tell these people. And he says, he's supposed to, now my version, New King James says, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, and do not perceive. I mean, God's kind of telling Isaiah here that even though he is going to tell them, the people are going to continue to result to not listen to what he really has to say here. He's not going to have any result of his preaching to the people because they've already decided not to listen. And so God's really saying, go ahead and keep on not listening because you're going to be judged for it. There's no question about that. And so I think Jesus is, as we've already said, Jesus is saying that that's what's happening today, really. People continue to harden their hearts before the Lord. The Lord does not delight in judging people. I think we need to make that clear. He does not delight in disciplining them necessarily. But the fact that they refuse to do what God tells them to do, their fate is really doomed. They're going to be judged in the need. Jesus is really quoting these same verses, as we said in Matthew 13, because in his day, it says that they could not believe because they would not believe. That's exactly why. It's interesting, do you know that these verses here in Isaiah 6 is quoted like some seven times in the New Testament? It's amazing that Jesus keeps going back to that same thing. We won't take time to look all those verses up, but we just read one in Matthew 6, you know, showing that nothing has really changed for the Israelites. They continue to be obstinate and not listening to what God wants them to hear. Is God saying that he deliberately blinds people to condemn them? No, he isn't. But what he is saying is that the Word of God has a hardening effect and a blinding effect. In other words, the more you listen to it and deny it, the more harder you get. As one gave the illustration, sun melts ice, but it also hardens clay. And so it has a double effect on people. If you reject something bad enough, it only gets worse and you get more stubborn, it seems like. I don't know if it's a good example, but it comes to my mind. My brother Dennis, some of you remembered him, and he was very stubborn growing up as a kid. And the more that you spanked him, the more stubborn he became. And I can remember we had a girl, a missionary lady in our that I worked with on the same compound. And they had a daughter like that. The more you spanked her, the more stubborn she got. So the mother used a different technique. If you do that again, you're not going to be allowed to play with your friends. You got to stay in. And that worked. That worked. So it's just interesting. So the same word that can help us can also become a hardening effect if we just continue to harden our hearts before it, the harder it is to give into it eventually. I want us to look in John chapter 12. That's one of the verses this is used in. I want us to look in John chapter 12. John 12, starting with verse 37. Let's see here. John 12, 37. 37, I want, actually I'm going to go all the way to 40, I think. Do I want that much? No, let's take it one verse at a time. So, we see a downward spiral as we look at this verse. And so I want to read verse 37.
Mm-hmm. Just 37?
For right now.
But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him.
Believed not on him. So, where does this hardening or this downward spiral start? According to verse 37, they would not believe. You get that? They refused to believe. Okay, that's where it starts. And so, the next thing is in verse 39.
Therefore they could not believe because Esaias said again.
Yeah, and that's, then it just repeats what we, that same phrase, that their eyes were blinded and hardened and so forth. So what I'm trying to get across to you is that this hardening of this heart starts with first unbelief. And if you don't believe, then it comes to the point where it says they could not believe. It becomes a hard time to believe. And they could not believe. And finally, verse 40, another one I want you to read there. Go ahead, since you got it there.
He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes or understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them.
Okay.
The only part I don't understand, I should heal them. Doesn't he want to heal them?
But that's the point, is that he wants to, but because of their unbelief, he can't. That's what he wants to bring out here. I think that's really awesome. So we go from they would not believe, they could not believe, and then they will not be able to believe. That's a very sober thought. And I think many times there again, I mean, we can't set that level as to where that level is, where it comes to a point where there's kind of like no return. We've all heard testimonies of people that rejected and then they didn't come back. I think of Wayne's dad on his deathbed, he repented. It's just amazing. But still, there's a point where you just become hard, and I think it's more not that God can't forgive you, but you yourself don't want to submit anymore to anything like that. That's very satanic. There's no question about that. So let's go back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And we're at verse 15 now. Verse 15 says, for the heart of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. You see, that really is a powerful, that's really the key right there, isn't it? God can't heal them if you don't ask for it. I mean, they asked the question in the last jail service we had, but they were sitting around talking. They said, if people die, you know, no matter what life they've been living, I mean, are those sins going to be forgiven? And I said, you got to ask for that forgiveness. It just doesn't come automatically. You got to ask for it. That's just the way it is in God's book. And so I think that's so neat here. In this verse 15, I want to spend a little time on this. What is God's true desire in this verse 15 that you see? What does he really want to do? He wants to heal them. Exactly, he does. That's his true desire. It really is. He wants them to see with their eyes. He wants them to hear with their ears. He wants them to understand with their heart. He wants them to be converted so he can heal them spiritually. That's what he does, everything he can so that's possible. But what's the problem? What gets in the way from this happening? This part here, it says here, I'm going to find this here. For their hearts, my King James, New King James Version says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. And in the King James, it says waxed gross. And what is gross? Yeah, we do say things are gross. That's right, we do, don't we? we don't say they're waxed gross, but we say they're gross, don't we? But that word gross really means fat. Their hearts are fat. And that's talking about, it involves sensuality, it involves senselessness. You know, to me, all this transphobic stuff is senseless. It's just, there's no common sense in any of that. It's just ridiculous. And so as a result, that word can mean that their hearts have been calloused or dull, my Bible says. We won't look at it, but Psalm 119, verse 70, in the Amplified Version says, their heart is as fat as grease. Their minds are dull and brutal. That means savage. But this is a bright spot in this verse, because the psalmist says, but I delight in your law. Isn't that, what a bright spot amongst all this wickedness. That's what we all should want. And so this kind of attitude puts us directly under the judgment of God. We need to understand that. It just does. People want to kind of ignore that. But you can't. We can't just ignore that kind of stuff here. When the heart is heavy like this, or in other words, full of self, it's no wonder that the ears become dull. We don't hear the whispering of the Holy Spirit anymore, because it's dull from that. If you occupy with stuff of this world and belligerence all the time, you're not going to be sensitive to God's call on you at all. You won't hear it. The loud calls, as somebody says here, the loud calls of God's word hit closed ears. The word is very clear. Yes, Ken.
I know when I'm at work and I'm talking about Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, and usually I'm celebrating with somebody else because they believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then you get these customers that come in and say, oh, why are y'all talking about that Jesus stuff again? Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
That's the people that he's really talking about that have just
exactly
denied him and just refused to hear his name.
Yep. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it because it convicts them. That's the problem. And they don't want to be convicted. That's a great example. It really is. So, let me see. They don't want it to affect their lives. Obviously, they want to live in the sin that they are. There again, for time's sake, but in Psalm 58, it talks about that the wicked leaders have stopped their ears, just like putting things like this in your. They don't want to hear it, because they chose to ignore the things of God. They shut down both two senses that God has given us, our hearing and our seeing. They close that down and won't let it be used of the God. That's just a great thought, I think. They've resolved that they would not see the light. And the Jewish leaders, obviously, they refused. When the light was with them in the person of Jesus, they made up their mind, we're not going to believe this because of jealousy, because listening to it. So the light was in the world, but when the light was there, they shut up the windows of their eyes, because the Bible says they love darkness rather than light. Instead of Jesus, they willingly ignored that. Verse 16, quickly. But blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for they hear. That's just an awesome thing. And I think, you know, everybody in this here can identify with this church, because we do want to hear. We are hungry to know more about God and his word. And it's just interesting that he brings out here that you are, he really commends the disciples here, because they are listening. What a difference between these two groups of people. One group that is condemned of God, and the other one is blessed of God. Because Jesus is blessing them here, because they are listening to what he is saying. It's truly a blessing when our spiritual eyes and ears are open to the things of God. And so he congratulates them for listening to him and listening to what he has to say to them. And again, as this morning we brought out, that the more we listened, the more we observe the light that he has given us, the more he's going to give to us, more insight that we'll get into his done. We know that all of us Christians want to hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And if you don't believe that's going to happen, of course, you're not going to care about that. But I, for one, want to hear that when I get to heaven. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not because of me, but because of you, Jesus, is what I'll say. But it all starts with us with having open ears and eyes to the things of God. That's where it starts, really. I think in verse 17 again, as we read verse 17, we should feel privileged because we do live in a privileged age. Verse 17, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see. Now we're talking about godly men in the Old Testament here that were following God to the T and being used of God mightily, but yet God did not allow them to understand all these things. They were writing down these prophecies. It says they wanted to see it, Jesus said, and wanted to hear what you're hearing. But this is a thing to me of God's timing again, his sovereignty in all this. And he has a schedule like he's following. I think it's good for us to, as we see the things going around, is to grasp that truth. His schedule is playing out the way he wants it to play out. And all this wickedness that we're seeing, whereas God, we say, well, God is there. And I think it's awesome to know that in spite of all the wickedness and darkness, people are getting saved in this day and age. People are coming to him. There's miracles being done because there are people that have their ears open and their eyes open yet, and God is blessing them. It was God's pleasure to reveal these truths to us in this age of grace and not before then. That's pretty much what we have here. And finally now, we're not going to get into this parable. Like I said, I want to do a series on this. We're going to go over several parables here, but he then gives the explanation, starts by saying, therefore hear the parable of the sower. These are disciples that want to know more, and Jesus is going to teach them more because of their willingness to open up their ears and their eyes. May we have that same attitude today. Any thoughts? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this night again for these thoughts, and oh Lord, for open ears and open eyes and to receive, Lord, what you want to teach us. You long for us to know about you. You long to heal us and make us righteous before you and to use us in your kingdom, God. And yet there's so many people that are so blind, and there's many people in this church that have family members that are blind. And so, God, we do pray for them.